I'm going to preach on this subject for several weeks, how to increase the increase, how to increase the increase. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help me, dear God. I want to present this in a very scriptural and Lord, very biblical manner. And I want to address some things, dear Lord, that I really believe will reap benefit here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd give me tonight people with a hungry heart. I pray that we'd come wanting to hear and wanting to learn and wanting to know. And I would pray, Lord, that you would help us, please. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me spend some time, and today's message will cover some of the material, maybe a little bit, but I'm going to spend a good part of tonight just introducing the series and just kind of chatting with you. If I had an opportunity to bring you into my office and just talk to you about this individually, I think this is kind of the heart and the format of the opening message. I want to try to let the Word of God help me to sell you on something, and I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk to you on this subject, how to increase the increase. Now, I love preachers, and I appreciate so much preachers, and I appreciate men of God and people that are in the ministry. But in these last of the last days, I'm detecting amongst some of God's men a spirit of defeatism. And what I mean by that is that we've just reached a point in time where, you know what, we're in the last days. There's going to be a great falling away, and the Bible predicts it. And you know what, almost this surrender to the inevitable, Jesus is coming back, let's circle the wagons and just hunker down and pray for the midnight cry. And what I feel like that this has cost us is our evangelistic zeal. I hear young preachers, and this worries me. I will say this. The longer you're in the ministry, it's harder for older preachers to keep the same intensity and fire that they had when they were younger preachers. So if I were to hear this from men that were just tired because they've done this for 30 or 40 years, you know, I guess I could be a little merciful. But I hear young men just kind of speaking along these lines. And let me tell you one of the things that I hear a lot, and I'm going to try to address this and give you this as an opening illustration, and then teach you some things from the Bible that will hopefully help you. Now, I'm not here to fix all the preachers in America, so I'm giving this illustration for sake of an illustration, but then I want to talk to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, because I believe there is a way that we can affect the increase. I always say, well, some plant, I hear this all the time. Well, preacher, you know, things aren't going real well, and you know what? We're not seeing many people saved, and we're not seeing any growth, and we really haven't seen anything miraculous. But you know what? Our job's to plant, some water. God gives the increase. And just the way they use that verse in the setting that I just presented, it's becoming more and more in my ears and in my thinking that we're just blaming God. In other words, we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're doing our planting, we're doing our watering, and if there's not an increase, it's God's fault. And I got to meditating about that, and I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, first of all, let's say this, that is a Bible principle. We, by the way, do not and cannot perform the miraculous. You know what? Only God can save a soul. Jerry Ross has never saved a soul, and you've never saved a soul. Every once in a while, I run into somebody that I hadn't seen for some time, or maybe somebody that, one of the bus kids, and they'll say, hey, I know you. You saved me. And no, I didn't save you. Blessed Hope Baptist Church saved me. No, Blessed Hope Baptist Church didn't save you. Jesus saved you. But God has seen to it and offered us the opportunity, as we read in verse number 9. What a statement, what an opportunity. For we are laborers, watch this, together with God. And remember when I preached in the message the other morning that sometimes what we need to do is draw a line and realize this is our responsibility and this is God's responsibility. And so God kind of draws a line in this portion of Scripture and does say, your job is to plant, your job is to water, and it is God that giveth the increase. And I want you to know that I understand that. However, I'm going to show you. Listen, folks. Do you think that anybody in this room wants to see somebody saved more than God wants to see somebody saved? Do you think anybody in this room loves lost souls more than God loves lost souls? And listen, folks, the problem isn't that God has lost interest in saving people. It isn't that the idea that God, you know, has somehow become limited in these last days in his power and that he can no longer do the miraculous, that he can no longer send revival. And to get to the point where we begin to point our fingers over onto that side of the line as if, well, the reason that we're not seeing what we used to see is because of God, I think we better take a step back and realize our God's the same God that sent every revival that's ever happened and saved every soul and still wants to do it today. The idea that we do not have any influence on the increase, the idea that there's no Bible principles that teach us that God does honor and does offer increased blessing in response to obedience to certain things, the idea that we just kind of lay back and relax and put in a half effort and then say, well, you know, we planted, we watered, God gives the increase, that's not our business. Wait a minute, I want to kind of see if I can just stand up here for a few weeks and say, hold on a second, wait a minute. Before we want to shift the blame over on this side of the line, maybe we better make sure that we're doing the things that the Bible says we need to do so that we can move the heart of God to send an increase. For instance, let me just kind of give you some thoughts here. You know, if Brother Jack Gordon, let's say he's a farmer, Brother Donnie Davis said, if they took the mentality of some preachers and some people in ministry and some Sunday school teachers and some bus captains, listen, we're going to preach the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you know what, preacher, I haven't seen much increase in my class. Been a long time since seen anybody saved. We've averaged the same for several years. And you know what, but we plant, we water, and God gives the increase, you know. And let's just kind of shift the blame over to God there. Well, okay. You know what, if there were two farmers, okay, there's Brother Jack Gordon, Brother Don Davis, and they had a philosophy of farming. And there was somebody else that had a different philosophy of farming. And there's this farmer that said, if his the mentality he had, well, I'll tell you what we're supposed to do. We're just supposed to plant. I mean, that's the only piece of equipment I got's a planter. Because all we got to do is plant. You know, that's what the verse says. Some plant, some water, God gives the increase. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy a planter and I'm going to buy seed and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to drive over the field and I'm going to force that seed into the soil and then I'm going to stand there. And if I don't have a biggest crop as the guy down the road who properly prepares the ground, watch this, who uses some fertilizer, who pulls some weeds and fights some weeds and sprays so the weeds don't have an effect, who takes time to cultivate, and you know what? If I don't have as big a harvest as he has, then you know who's to blame? It's God. Because he told us, we plant, we water, God gives the increase. Now, wait a minute, folks. The honest truth is, anybody that's got some common sense understands that when a farmer talks about his responsibility as planting, it encompasses more than just planting. Okay? And what I think we better do is not just pull one verse out of context and say, that's all we're supposed to do. And then God's supposed to give the increase, and if he doesn't, there's something wrong with God. It's God's fault. Now, folks, listen to me. I want to challenge you, and I'm going to try to motivate you a little bit tonight with the introduction. I believe God wants to increase Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think God wants to do that by increasing every area of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think God wants your Sunday school class to grow. I don't think it's supposed to stay the same. I don't think it's supposed to be going backwards. I think it's supposed to be going forward. I think it's supposed to be increasing. And if it's not increasing, listen to me, stop blaming God. Because I think by the time we get done with these 2 or 3 or 4 weeks of lessons, what we need to do is get back to shining the spotlight on our responsibilities and stop pulling a verse out of context and acting as if God is to blame for more souls not being saved. God is to blame for more kids not being in my class. God is, now wait a minute. Let's make sure that we're doing our responsibility first. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I am as a human being, dissatisfied in my soul when something that I oversee and something that I'm responsible for is sitting there just being maintained or sitting there diminishing underneath my supervision, underneath my opportunity to, or oversight. And it ought to bother you. Are you listening to me? This idea that, you know what, well, you know what, let's just, I was given this class and you know what, we had 10, 12 kids and you know what, here we are 3 years later, we got 10 or 12 kids and you know what, I really can't point to any significant miracle or anything. Now, come on now. I guess you're just going to decide, are you satisfied with that? And the sad part is a lot of Christians are just getting satisfied. A lot of preachers are just getting satisfied. And now we've spiritualized it so that it's not even our fault anymore. It's kind of God's fault and it's the end times. And folks, listen to me, you can come with a bunch of excuses or you can start bringing people to church and you can start seeing people saved and you can start doing the things that God, when he sees them done, it moves him to want to bless. It moves him to want to pour out an increase upon your life. Now, let me just say this, folks. And again, if you want to throw stones at me, I don't have any illustrations when it comes to this type of thing, except my own illustrations. But I mean, from the time that I went off to Bible college and was given opportunities, I wanted God, if he gave me an opportunity to have a class, if he gave me opportunity to have a bus ride, if he gave me an opportunity to oversee something, I wanted God's blessing, his obvious blessing and obvious increase upon what God's given me to oversee and God given me to be a part of. I've never been able to just live with the idea of we're just supposed to be the same. I've never been able to be satisfied with that. I don't think God wants us to be satisfied with that. I don't think God's satisfied with that. I think God wants to see people saved and God wants to see people brought into the kingdom. And he's given us, if you'll listen to me over the next few weeks, he's given us principles. He's given us farming principles. He's given us planting principles and watering principles that will cause him in response to our obedience to the things he's taught us in his word, to increase the increase. You can influence the heart of God. You can influence the hand of God. You can cause God to have to say, listen, there's no way I can't bless that. There's no way I can't do something there. I mean, listen, folks, the Bible says, God says, I will pour water upon the dry ground. I will, listen, get thirsty. I mean, get before God. Now listen, as long as you're satisfied, that never has moved the heart of God. Somebody that's complacent, that doesn't move the heart of God. As long as you're prayerless, that doesn't move the heart of God. As long as you're tearless, that doesn't move the heart of God. And so I'm not trying to fix all the churches. I'm trying to fix Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because let me just tell you this, folks. We have people in a lot of positions here, and for the most part, we have maintainers. Which means I can give you something and you can maintain it. Okay, you can just keep it going. You can just kind of hold it level. You can just kind of show up and you do the minimum. Come on now, you do the minimum, you get by, and you maintain it. Or you do the minimum and you're getting by, and the honest truth is it's diminishing, but not to the point where it's real embarrassing yet, and you're happy with that. I'm going to try to make you unhappy with that. I'm going to try to make you dissatisfied with that. Because the honest truth is, a preacher, a pastor, is not responsible to build a church. A pastor is responsible to enlist a group of people to help him to go out and do what we have been commanded to do so that God can smile upon it and bless it and be pleased and trust us with increase. When I wanted a Sunday school class. They didn't, hey, I've told you this story, but when I went to Bible college, one of the ways I got to prepare for the ministry is I got to have an opportunity to preach. I've got to have an opportunity to hold the Bible and teach. I need that experience. And it was in my heart to want to be a Sunday school teacher. They put me into a department and they said, you're going to help in this Sunday school department. And it was third and fourth grade bus area, B area. And all the third and fourth graders that were brought into the bus ministry were sent to this area. And they divided up into Sunday school classes. And then they came to a central area and they had a junior church for them. And everything they did was pretty much in that area. The classes were, after class, they'd come in, they'd have a preaching service, put them back on the bus, take them home. And, you know, my entry-level job, if you let me say this, was you watch this hallway. If a knife fight breaks out, you break it up, try to take the knife away from them, and just make sure that nobody's selling cocaine or anything in the hallway, and just try to, you know, if there's a riot, jump in the middle of it and you know, riot with them, I guess. But, you know, just basically you watch this section, make sure the kids behave, whatever, and all this, and that's fine. I think that's a good place for somebody to start. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If you're not willing to do what would be the simplest act of service, then don't ever ask God to give you anything else. But after I did that for a while, I thought, you know, I've kind of mastered this. Okay, I've mastered the mean, intimidating look. You know, when the kid is getting ready to do something, they look back at me and I give them that look like, I will pop your head off if you do that. I've kind of learned, I get that and all this. But you know what? God's called me to preach. And so I started, after several months, I started going to the superintendent of that department. And I said, hey, if you got a Sunday school class that opens up, I'll take it. And he said, well, we don't need any teachers. I tell you what, I'll be ready every week. And if somebody gets sick, I'll be ready. Okay, I'll be ready. All right. I see him next. Hey, I'm still ready, you know. And he said, hey, we don't have a class yet. I said, okay, I'll just remind you. If you need me, I'm ready. I'm studied up, ready to go. Oh, I'm ready to go. Hey, I am ready to go just in case you need me. And why? Because God lit a fire in my heart. Now watch this, folks. God's going to light something inside of you. You say, oh, that's just because you're called to preach. Well, let me just say this, folks. It's not just men that are called to preach that ought to have a fire burning in their heart to see God do something and use them in some miraculous way. And so it just ate at me. And so, you know, I'd sneak in the back of classes and I'd sit and I'd listen to the guy teach and I'd try to learn. And I'd go to different classes because, you know, there's only so much going out in the hallway, you know. And my job in the hallway was basically, if a kid was so out of control and so rowdy and so crazy in a class that he was just being super disruptive, they'd bring him to me. And so they'd bring him to me, and then I'm supposed to set him in the hallway, and I'm supposed to talk to him and try to cast out the demons and do whatever I got to do to get this kid in the right state of mind so hopefully he can go back to his class. And if he can't, then we just, you know, hang out together and we let them have their class, okay? And so we had one Sunday, and I've been bugging this superintendent for several weeks, and we had one Sunday where, I don't know if they had a special promotion where you got a candy bar if you brought a demon-possessed friend, but we had a particular Sunday where there was a lot of that going on. And I mean, Sunday school teacher opened the door and they're going like this, and here, take this kid, you know. And then another one, I'd say, hey, what's going on, man? And his head's spinning around, you know. And then another teacher is like, come on. And I ended up with three or four of these boys that were just on that particular Sunday. So I've got them in the hallway there, you know, and I take them to the end of the hallway and I get chairs, I sit them down there. And the superintendent looks down and sees me and says, Ross, you wanted a Sunday school class? There you go. And I said, do I get a room? Nope, you've got the hallway. There you go. Now, that I'm going to tell you something. I got excited about that. I thought, I can build this class. I can teach them to misbehave so that they get thrown out in the hallway. I can teach them to disciple other people, young people, to be rotten so that I can build my class. I got excited about it. I didn't have a pulpit. I had four chairs, I think, four boys, and they all didn't want to be there, and they're all looking at me like they hated my guts. And I walked in and opened my Bible and said, hey, guys, guess what? you are my new Sunday school class. And man, I asked them all their names and wrote it all down. And I asked them what's going on in your lives and wanted to find out what was going on. And some of them, you know, most of them wouldn't talk much, whatever. But I said, listen, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. And listen, we taught a lesson. And man, I got out there and taught. And I brought a chair. And I didn't have a pulpit. And I stood on the chair. And I mean, I'm in full-fledged Jerry Ross crazy mode, teaching from all my heart with these four demon-possessed little boys, you know. But what I found out was this. You know what? Little demon-possessed boys have friends. I told him, you can bring somebody with you. Come on, you can get somebody to the church. I know you got some problems, but you know other kids that's got problems. You can get some help here. And the next week, they didn't even bother going to their class. They just came down and sat at the end of the hallway. And they brought some friends with them. And I won't make this, by the way, I got to see those boys saved just one at a time. And I mean, sometimes right in the middle of a Sunday school class, I'd start talking to one of them. They'd open up to me. I'd begin to share my passion, my burden to see them saved. I mean, we'd stop in the middle of Sunday school classes, and the other boys would watch us kneel down and listen to me lead that kid to the Christ. And my class, my little heathen class, began to grow. And finally, I'm at the end of this hallway, and I've got 12, and then I've got 15. And finally, the Sunday school superintendent said, Ross, I got to get you a room. And so he got me a room. And listen, I just believe that's the way it's supposed to be. I think that something's got to be inside of your heart to say, okay, God, I get it. All I can do is plant, and all I can do is water. And I understand that that's my responsibility, and I'm not trying to be God. But Lord, I want you to be able to look down and be so pleased with what you're seeing from me that you'll want to bless it, that you'll want to increase it. That you can look down and say, I can trust him with increase. And folks, the honest truth is, we need at Blessed Hope Baptist Church an old-fashioned revival of passion for the ministry. A passion for the ministry. And first bus route I was given, I went to Division 12 and helped my roommate, Johnny Esposito. And I think, was Johnny here? Did he preach here? Okay, Johnny Esposito, about this tall. You imagine us two visiting together. He's about this tall. I'm about this tall. And we're going through Joliet. When I went to Bible college, I joined Fisherman's Club for 2 years. I worked in Fisherman's Club. And that was the ministry I was involved in because I knew that I needed to work better at being a good soul winner. So for 2 years, I worked in the trainer-trainee program, first as a trainee and then as a trainer, getting to train other guys that were coming in, needed help. And we went out and just worked on soul winning. Into my second year, I decided to get into bus ministry. And one of my roommates, Johnny Esposito, was already on a bus route. He kept telling me, listen, Jerry, I'm not trying to play God, but man, I need help. And when you do get in the bus ministry, would you come help me on my route? And so, you know what? He was a good friend, needed the help. And so when I decided to go, I said, hey, I'll come help you. And we went to Joliet, Illinois. And that was quite a ways from Hammond, and it was not really in Chicago. Like most of the bus routes that you think about, you think are being in inner city Chicago. But there was a lot of those type of areas where they sent buses into. And in Joliet, Illinois, We had one route for that entire city, and Brother Johnny took me, and I learned from him. Listen, can you learn something? Well, I've been doing this for 12 years. I've been doing this for 15. Have you lost a teachable spirit? There's no way you can learn to do anything better. You're the expert. You know what? You're also going to be put on a shelf. But listen, I was talking to Brother Eric, and we got talking about this, and he said, hey, have you started? And I remember where I was, Joliet. Okay, somebody remember that. I got to get back to Joliet here in a minute. But he was talking, he said, hey, are you getting ready to go hunt? And I said, yeah, I got a new bow. And I said, honestly, when I taught myself to shoot a bow, I just kind of picked one up and started shooting it. I did go over and see Brother Bo, and he gave me a couple pointers, but as far as really learning how to shoot a bow, I mean, where you can be accurate. I said, I don't think I ever really learned. So I got this new bow. And Brother Nathan knew a guy over in Robinson, Illinois. And we drove over there to get it outfitted. This guy is a hunter. You walk in his shop and you can see by the deers on the wall, this guy's a hunter. But he didn't start as a hunter. He started getting into bow shooting, into archery, by shooting in tournaments. And so his whole thing is about accuracy, technique. And so I walked in there and I said, hey, listen, I want to get this bow set up, and I want to get it tuned, and I want to get it set up properly. And then after we did that, and that took good night, that took a while. And then after that, I said, hey, would you just watch me shoot? And he could tell, he said, well, I can probably give you some points. I said, just watch me shoot, anything that you teach me. Now, folks, listen, I've bow hunted for 20 years. I've killed a couple really, really nice deer with a bow. I've killed a lot of bucks with a bow, a lot of doe with a bow. And you know what? I learned some things that even after 20 years of archery, 20 years of bow hunting, he took a few minutes and gave me some pointers that helped me be a much more accurate shot. Now, I could have walked in there and said, hey, tune this bow up. Well, you want me to have you shoot it? No, no, you don't understand. I've been hunting 20 years. I mean, come on. I don't need your help. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't care how long you've been doing what you're doing. You can learn something that's going to help you be more successful at it than you are presently being successful. Now, please listen to what I have to say. By the way, this isn't just a philosophy for ministry, you young men, you young ladies. This is a philosophy for life. You want to be successful in anything, what you better do is stay teachable. You better understand that there's still things you haven't learned and things that you can be taught to do better and you can be more effective. And you know what I need? Watch it. Look right up here. I need a church of teachable people. If we haven't had to split your Sunday school class because you're out of room, there's something you can learn. If we haven't had to split your bus route because we can't fit them on there, there's something you can learn. Okay? And what I want you to do is get a teachable spirit. Okay, you can maintain it. Got it. Good. Can you build it? And what I want you to do is understand that what I'm teaching you over the next several weeks is teaching you how you can influence the heart of God to pour out his blessing and increase upon you because he sees your obedience and you get to the point where he learns to trust you. And listen, there's a lot of things. We did several things. But listen, it's not like God says, you plant, you water, I give the increase, that's all the information I'm giving you. All through the Word of God, he walks over and whispers in our ear farming tips and things that he had put down on black, with black words on white paper in the King James Holy Bible. He's made promises that if we do certain things, he will increase the blessing. And so if you want to call them secrets. They're in there in black and white for anybody to read. But listen, I think what we need to do is lose our defeatism. Stop walking around with our bushel of excuses of why, you know what, we just are hanging on. Listen, we've got to get excited. We've got to get our passion again. And we've got to get into the scriptures and understand that, you know what, God wants to do something unusual here in Jasonville, Indiana, through the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Brother Johnny took me, and I just visited with him for about a month, 6 weeks. At the end of that time, he said, Jerry, you don't know everything, but you know enough. And what you don't know, there's only one way to learn it, and this is what I'm going to do. He said, we got this big city, and we got this entire area of the city, and I'm just going to split it in half. And you're not visiting with me anymore. I'm visiting on this side, and you're visiting on that side, and on the way home, we'll talk about it. And we'll go together every morning, and we'll pray together, and we'll even visit a little while together, but then I'm breaking you off, and every Saturday, that's yours, and this is mine. Now, you know what? Get the power of God, pray, visit, get a burden for souls, ask questions, and let's see God do something. Now, folks, listen to me. That excites me. That still excites me. I mean, good night, are you kidding me? There's nobody else running a bus to pick up kids in half of Joliet, and you walk down the street, and there's young people everywhere, and there's an opportunity here, and souls are here, and good night, they're there. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to reach them. Somebody needs to get a touch of God upon their life. I mentioned to you that I drove down to, I think I mentioned to our senior saints that I drove down. There's a lay preacher, a guy that's really not called to pastor, been trying to hold a little church together down in Harrisburg, Illinois. It's 3 miles outside of a town of 9,000 people and 18 miles from a town of 18,000 people. They've got property. They've got buildings all paid for. They got a 2009 15-passenger van paid for. There's a wide open opportunity. smelt like the same thing we took over in Victory Baptist. They haven't had a pastor for 2 years. It's diminished down to a handful of people, and they're hanging on for dear life, been looking and praying. And they called me, "Preacher, we can't find anybody to come. We can't find somebody to come." And I said, the guy's called me twice. He called me a year ago. He called me on the second year anniversary of them not having a pastor. I finally said, "Brother, I'm busy, but you know what? I'm going to drive down." And I did. A couple weeks ago, I got in the car and drove all the way to Harrisburg, Illinois. And I said, "I want to walk through the property. I want to look at what you got. I'm going to ask you some tough questions. I want to be able to have seen it and know the situation. So if I get on the phone and start helping you find a preacher, I'll have the answers to the questions, and then I'll refer you to the rest." Now listen to me. Can I just say this, folks? On the way home, I'm talking to my wife, and I'm like, "You know what? I want to go home and resign Blessed Hope Baptist Church and go to Harrisburg, Illinois, because it's wide open, it's crazy, it's there. It just needs somebody that will see it and somebody that will do it." But let me tell you this, folks, the opportunity is not just in Harrisburg, Illinois. The opportunity is right here in our own Jerusalem. And we've just gotten numb to it. We're used to this area. You know, come on, bus captains. There's entire neighborhoods you've written off because you can't get anybody out of there. Yeah, you can. Yeah, well, there's families. I've tried a few times. Yeah, you can. But you know what you need to learn to do? Well, a preacher, I just go over there and I throw a few seeds and I plant, and I don't know why there's not more. Well, you know why? Because you probably haven't learned, or if you have learned them, you've forgotten and fallen away from practicing the principles that gets God's power and blessing upon your labor and has God, who is in charge of the increase. Listen, Paul said, "I'm nothing and Apollos is nothing. God is everything." But he also said this: "You have an opportunity to co-labor with me." If I want to give God all the glory, there's a part of this portion of scripture, if you'll read it carefully, that seems to diminish the importance of what we do, but then it turns around and elevates the importance of what we do. And I think sometimes people, in order to not want to steal glory from God, sometimes act as if the planting and watering isn't necessary in the way God set it up. Yes, it is. See, God says, that's your job. And one of the things Paul said in that verse, you might want to, before you say, "Well, some planted, some watered, God gives," he said this, let me quote it properly: "I have planted, Apollos has watered, and God gave the increase." You know what he was able to say? "I have planted. I have planted." Now, listen, folks. We're not taking any glory away from God. I'm just telling you, in the way that God has set this thing up, he has put the evangelistic efforts of the world in the hands of the local New Testament church. And what we do is important. And our response and our willingness to obey the principles of the Bible in doing this does get God's attention. And you know what? You can influence the increase. You can cause the heart of God to say, "Good night, I can't not bless them." You can't, listen, but you've got to decide that you're going to do it. Now, you say, "Oh, preacher, you don't understand, I don't have your personality." Well, I don't have my personality either, or didn't used to have. You know what, folks, there's a lot, I just get tired of people saying, "Well, I'm just not that way." Well, you know what? Good night, grow. Here's a word, watch this word, change. Learn. I hear people, a lot of people say, "Well, I just couldn't do that." Yes, you can. If God wants you to, yes, you can. "Well, I wouldn't even know where to start." Well, you know what you do? You go find somebody that's doing it and you say, "Where do I start?" Now listen, folks, are all those legitimate reasons, or are they just excuses because we're lazy and we really just kind of like all our free time? A preacher, next thing I know, if I get excited about something like this, you're going to want part of my Saturday. No, I don't want any of your Saturday, but I think God does. You're going to want an evening of my life every week for some type of a soul winning program. I don't want it, but I think God probably does. And the honest truth is, folks, listen to me. You can't, you know, it's like a farmer, Brother Davis. It's like a farmer that wants to sit on the porch in a chair and look at the field and thinking that by staring at it hard enough, he's going to have corn. And it don't work that way. Paul said, "I have planted." Now listen, there is a responsibility. Apollos has watered, and then God gave the increase. Not God gave the increase because I didn't plant. God gave the increase despite the fact that Apollos. Listen, we're not stealing glory from God at all to recognize that the Bible puts personal responsibility on the process of getting people to Christ squarely upon the shoulders of Christian people. And so what I want to do in these next several Sunday nights is to teach you. Listen, I'm telling you, you can give a motivational speech and you can tell some stories and people can still walk out and say, wow, that's great, but I still don't know how to do it. I'm going to show you the Bible principles that if you'll incorporate them in your life, you can influence God's willingness to increase the increase in your life. And I'm going to tell you this, these principles just don't work in ministry. These principles work in life. And so let's look at one of them tonight. We got enough time. Let's look at one of them tonight. I've already kind of alluded to it anyway, but let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. You say, preacher, we just plant and we water and God gives the increase and we have no influence over the increase. That's totally 100% God's responsibility. Okay, then let's listen to the one who has taken it as his responsibility and take some advice from him so that we can learn what pleases him so that he will increase the increase on our behalf. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. This is not just found in this portion of Scripture. We'll expand upon it next week, and I'll show you more verses. But let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 says this, but this I say, he that soweth what? Sparingly shall reap also, and he which soweth, what's the next word? Shall reap also. Okay, well, you see, preacher, you know, here's a pastor, and they're in Podunk Holler, and they're over there. You know, they're in a little town of like 2,000 people, where there's no way in the world a church could ever run over 200. Oh, that sounds like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, listen, I'm not picking on them. Some of you have already surrendered to the idea this church could never run 300 consistently, or 400 consistently, or 500 consistently, and I know that it can. But it can't if we have a group of people that will not obey what God needs us to do to see supernatural increase. Okay? And so here's one of the principles. God sits over here and he's in charge of the increase, right? He's the king of the increase. And he looks over and he says this, hey, you planters over there, this isn't rocket science. If you sow sparingly, I am going to bless you in accordance to how much you sow. And if you'll sow bountifully, I will bless you in accordance to how much you'll sow. Yes, so in essence, planters, you can increase the increase by your willingness to get out in the fields and plant. Okay? I told you about our garden. It really is. It's amazing the miraculous things that God does and the things you'll learn just by putting in a garden or just hanging around a farm for a while. But I told you a couple times that me and my wife took this much green bean seed and put it in the ground last spring. By the way, we didn't just put it there. We're Sister Bonnie. We didn't just put it there, did we? You don't just put it, well, we plant, we water, God gives you. Hey, you get on your knees and you get dirty and you crawl around in the dirt and you weed it. And you get out there in the hot sun and you get a tiller and you till it. Okay, and then bugs start eating it. So you get what? Seven dust, and you go out there and you put seven dust on it. Well, I planted and God just didn't give the increase. And then that's what we do. We've taken a verse out of context and act as if we only have one responsibility, and then God, if he doesn't bless it. No, guess what? If you want green beans at the end of the season, you got to work it. You got to do it. And so I talk about the five-gallon buckets of green beans that we ended up harvesting over three rows of beans from seed. That now, folks, listen to me. You know what? If I would have planted one row instead of three rows, I would not have had 10 5-gallon buckets. If I decide to plant six rows instead of three rows, am I going to get more green beans at the end of the season or less green beans? And you say, preacher, listen, I'm not patronizing you. I'm trying to get you to understand the simplicity of the, how come this makes common sense to us? But when it comes to the Lord's work, we want to spiritualize it as if, you know, we do nothing and God is supposed to bless it anyway. No, he's not. And he's not gonna. You're never going to find a place in the Bible that says God is in line and has the character and the nature to bless a lazy scoundrel. And God isn't going to bless a lazy church. All right, are you listening to me? Okay, let me just make it so you can't understand it. Okay, some of you, I might as well have taken these two cards and thrown them in the trash. Because you already, when you got them, number one, was mad because I put you in the spot. Number two, have no intention to do anything about it. Okay, we have, I don't know what we had in the morning service this morning, 100, 150 people in the service this morning. 150 people walk out with two of these and do what the preacher asked them to do and make a meaningful, sincere contact with somebody who has the potential to say yes. That's 300 invitations. Okay, let me ask you something. If five of us do it, or 150 of us do it, if there's 10 invitations, or 300 invitations, according to this verse, I know, but God can take in with a little, and little is much when God is in. Okay, let me help you with that. A lot is a whole lot mucher. We've almost prided ourselves on being the littlers. Well, you know, little is much when God is in it. And so that's what I live by. I try to do as little as possible because then God has the opportunity to be much. You know what? You've trampled under the plain teaching of the scriptures. Now, I understand that sometimes God takes a very small thing and does something miraculous with it. I get it. But I also know this. Here's the principle. You sow sparingly. You know what? I'm going to bless it sparingly. And you know what? You'll reap. And if you sow bountifully, so here's the question, okay? Teenagers, you got these cards. Wives, you got them, okay? Husbands, you got them. Well, my husband got two, and so I'll let him do it. And, all right, no, we all got them. What are we going to do about it? The honest truth is, I did this for a reason. I like every once in a while for Blessed Baptist Church to have an opportunity to see what God does when we follow the scriptural mandate. Now, again, folks, listen to me. This is we're going to require some time. You know what I want you to see? This card, I'd like you to see it as a seed. Except a seed fall to the and die, it bringeth forth. You know what? You can put seed in a seed bag. Come on, the old-fashioned sowing. And you can walk around and leave that seed in the seed bag. And in 3 months, you will not look down at your seed bag and see an ear of corn, a stalk of corn sticking out, reach over, peel, and eat corn on the cob. It does not germinate in the seed bag. It doesn't germinate in the seed bag. So this card in your Bible or on your dresser or, God forbid, in your trash can, let me tell you what it's going to bring forth. Nothing. Nothing. But if you were to take it and say, wow, you know what? I don't think our preacher's been unreasonable. He could have given us 10 and maybe should have. I mean, I think the world is dying and going to hell. I think we probably all know at least 10 lost people. And by the way, like I said, I'm not preventing you from going and getting more. Matter of fact, that's kind of good. You realize most of what, Brother Dave, most of what the average Christian does, most of what they do has to be voluntary. You know, I can encourage you, I can challenge you, I can set up programs to try to entice you, but the honest truth is you have to decide that you're going to get in there into the harvest and work it. And so we got an opportunity. We got a week. We got an opportunity to see the difference between 10 invitations and 300 invitations. Or if somebody in here got a little excited, 500 invitations or 600 invitations. Listen, folks, watch this. Okay, I'm going to go visit my regulars. Okay, go visit them. By the way, let me say this. Thank you. I mean that. That is important. I'm glad you go see your regulars. I'm glad. You know what? It's good that they've seen your face. It's good. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. If you visit regulars and that's all you do every week, you're a maintainer. You're not a builder. And you know what the natural character of the bus ministry is? A lot of these people are transit. A lot of these people are going to move. And if all you do is just visit regulars, your bus route's going to slowly go down. It's not going to go up. You know, you have to bring new people in just to maintain the level, just to keep the, you know, you have to get new ones because you're going to lose people. Okay, they're going to move. They're going to get mad. They're going to do something. You know, all of a sudden Aunt Susie, who didn't care whether they went to church and they found out riding the bus, all of a sudden wants to come to the charismatic church. With. I mean, it's going to happen. So you have to, listen, you have to build. Now, you say, okay, well, And the preacher, what am I supposed to do? Well, okay, what I want you to do is sow, which means, you know what, you're going to have to go and talk to new people. And by the way, if you go talk to a few, then you're probably going to reap a few. But if you go and do it bountifully, you're going to reach. Now, you say, preacher, where's the line? Well, you're going to have to decide that between you and God. Listen, I understand people's got a life. I understand you can't spend 30 hours a week on your bus route. I have pulled bus workers. Come on, bus workers. I've pulled bus workers in my office saying, watch this, because I love their family and I want them to stay balanced in their life. Say, I'm going to give you a time limit on how much you can visit. Can you imagine that, where a preacher had to say, I'm going to give you a time limit on how much you can visit. By the way, I'm going to teach you within that time limit how to visit more effectively and efficiently so that you can maximize the potential of that time that you're doing. But you know what, folks? Watch this. That's not most of our problem. Most of our problem isn't, oh my goodness sake, the preacher needs to pull us in because we're doing too much for God. No, that's not the problem at Blessed. That is not the widespread spiritual epidemic at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The honest truth is we could all do more. And here's a Bible principle that says, listen, God's over here and says, yes, I set upon the throne of the increase. I am the king of the increase. By the way, if you want to, you can go to my book and find out how you can move my heart to give you more increase. But I'm not going to do it unless you obey the principles that move my heart to give you more increase. Now, let me say this, and I'm close. We could go on with illustration after illustration. But if you're a farmer and you go by farms and you drive around the community, if a guy's putting out 5 acres of corn, or if a guy's putting out 500 acres of corn, the guy with 500 acres of corn is going to reap more than the guy with 5 acres of corn. The church in Greene County, Sullivan County, Clay County area that decides that souls are worth the time and the investment and worth going after, you know what? They're going to invest. Listen, God's going to bless the church that decides and that we are willing to prove that by going out and planting as much seed as we possibly can. Sunday school teacher, listen to me. If you haven't been in the home of your children on your bus route, and you haven't been on the home on them, you're not visiting them, you cannot expect for God to bless the increase. If you're not willing to go to them and say, hey, while I'm at your house, who do you know in the neighborhood? And mom, dad, could I borrow your young person for a minute and they can go down the street and invite? And listen, if you want to, you can force my hand to have to split your Sunday school class. If you want to, you know what? You could say, preacher, you're going to have to get me a second bus or split this or do something with. If you want, listen, get hungry. Get hungry. Well, I've only got 3 or 4 kids. That's all I had at the end of that hallway. Oh, yeah, but preacher, you had good Christian kids. Oh, no, I didn't. But you know what I had? Watch this. I had a passion. And I really believe that, you know what? God, I know that I'm the planter. I know I'm the water. I know God's the God of the increase. But I think that I can do this in such a way that God looks over and chuckles and smiles and says, you know what? That guy's a nut. But I'm a blessing. Because it's been a long time since I've seen somebody that excited about wanting to see something miraculous happening. I'm going to cut it off there for tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, please, that you'd stir our hearts. Lord, I believe that there is an enormous, enormous importance concerning the things that we're going to teach in the next few weeks. And Lord, I pray, dear God, for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're going through our fall program, and Lord, now I'm going to go into this, and we're laying groundwork for 2015. We're laying groundwork for the future. But I pray, dear God, we wouldn't wait till next year to grab a hold of these principles. Lord, I've never seen a preacher, and I've never seen in my time here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, 27 years total in the ministry, I've never seen where a preacher has a determined vision and a determined heart, determined effort to motivate and unify a church to do something unusual where the devil hasn't already launched a counterattack and tried to spread division and discontent and envy and jealousy and all of the things that fight against revival. God, help us to be clean. Help us to be right with you. Help us to lay those things aside. Help us, dear God, to decide, hey, you know what? I'm going to show up here and I'm going to open my Bible and I'm going to learn how to move the heart of God. I'm going to learn how to get the power of God, and I'm going to learn what it takes for God to be willing to look down upon a little church out here in, of all places, Jasonville, Indiana, and just say, you know what? There's no way that I can't bless. There's no way that I can't bless that church because I've promised to. They're doing their part. They've found my promises. They're proving me in my promises. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you, Lord, would delight in the changes that you see in our church over the next few months. We pray these things in Jesus' name.